Dave Zirin returns on Edge of Sports Radio, where sports and politics collide.
Boom, we're back here on Edge of Sports Radio, joined by Dan Baker, me, Mark Barry, and the coach, Kevin McNutt. I have so much joy on the brain because the Washington Wizards are up, as of this recording, 2-0 on the Chicago Bulls. Game 3 tonight, that would be Friday night, here in Washington, D.C., at the phone booth, a.k.a. the MCI Center, a.k.a. Verizon Center, a.k.a. whatever future telecommunications merger takes place.
Capitalism.
Yes. It means you don't get arenas with names you can remember anymore. But I got to tell you, I'm excited to talk to Sekou Smith about that and about the brawl that took place before Game 1 of the Pacers-Hawks series between Evan Turner and Lance Stephenson. You hear about that, Coach?
No.
Oh, my goodness. Apparently, teammates let him duke it out a little bit, hockey
is
style.
Is that right? Yeah.
And one of the
Danny Granger.
You know what I was going to ask Sekou, though? For the Pacers teammates, was it kind of like watching Joe Lieberman debate Dick Cheney? Like, you don't really want a winner. You just want them to beat the hell out of each other. But the thing that I want to talk about in this first segment is we got a couple of weeks away from the greatest non-event in sports, talking about the NFL draft.
Close to my heart.
Oh, I mean, for me and Mark Barry, it's ridiculous. I mean, Mark, you love this event. I mean, I guess before I say anything, you should have the right to explain yourself before I completely, you know, seriously, do the towel between the leg floss with the whole NFL draft thing.
Wow.
Why do you record and watch all the rounds of the NFL draft, especially since you're not the biggest college football fan, and I bet you don't know half the players they name?
Well, I used to. It's something that I've done for years and years. I went through, paid attention to so much of this pre-draft thing, made my own mock drafts, and modeled myself of not quite the same hairstyle as of Mel Kiper Jr.
Wow.
Ultimately,
Not
yet. I mean, in my mind, maybe. Yeah. But it's a filler. It's football is gone. This is the first step towards the next year of football, and you feel like you can project a lot of things, and you can feel like you're getting in on the ground floor, learning stuff about what's coming up in the season from this.
I like Mel Kiper Jr. I like the fact that there are stories about people yelling names at him across the street in New York City about seventh-round picks coming out of obscure conferences, and he yells back at people, actual profiles of them. I mean, to me, it's an amazing skill. It's kind of like a Rain Man, you drop the toothpicks on the ground, 183 toothpicks kind of a thing. Sure. But, Coach, what are your thoughts on Kiper? What are your thoughts on the NFL draft before I take the NFL draft and use it as a Q-tip to clean out my ears? What are your thoughts?
First of all, I dig Kiper. I mean, anybody that knows his craft like he knows it, I got props for, and I got respect for on that. You know, same with you. I mean, you're the best at what you do. So I got nothing but admiration for you.
I mean, what I make in a year wouldn't keep Mel Kiper in hairspray. So
that's
and
on
of
your
course,
negotiation.
That's how we judge things. Not unlike the Verizon MCI Center. Yay, capitalism! It's like, are you good at something? Yeah. Or how much are you getting paid for it? That's how we keep score.
But I'm anxious to hear your rant because the draft is only for me. For me, the draft is about. Watch this, Dave. Where are the running backs and wide receivers going for fantasy purposes? Other than that, I really don't care. So.
Wow.
Running backs not in the first round.
Right.
And actually, no running backs were invited to go to the draft this year. That's the first time
that's
ever
happened.
Is that
right?
There might be
no
one,
invitation.
Might be a second round pick out of it, maybe.
Yeah, no invitations were sent for running backs.
I didn't know that.
I mean, that's just an interesting thing about where we are and where we're going. And, and I mean, just look at Chris Johnson's salary and how it just dropped dramatically. Yeah. And I mean, I don't think you're going to see a running back with a Adrian Peterson type salary.
No,
again, he'd make $14.5 million. Mm. I mean, there's no logic to it. Yeah. There's no win to it. Even though I would personally give Alfred Morris all of Dan Snyder's money, if for no other reason.
Plus some.
Because he's Dan Snyder.
But besides that, come on, I want you to rant. I want to hear what you got to say. Come on, man. Bring it strong, brother. Bring it strong.
There are two big problems with the NFL draft. One is macro. The other is micro.
Go, Dave.
The macro problem with the NFL draft is a couple of things. One, it's a total bizarre stand-in for military culture.
Go, Dave.
This idea of supporting a United States where the United States of America and the military-industrial complex walk hand-in-hand. The NFL draft. Hello? The draft. And this idea that you are conscripting people to play on certain teams. These 21, 22-year-old kids. Oh, you got to go to Jacksonville. That's where you're going to live now. You're going to Oakland. That's where you have to live now. This idea of restricting people's freedom of movement, making them the property of somebody else. That's why no one ever calls their boss in the NFL, it's always my owner.
Not my team owner,
but my owner. I always don't. When I use this word, I want to be clear that I'm not obviously comparing it to the horrors of chattel slavery.
Yes, sir.
But it is a kind of slave mentality. And let's be honest, the concept of slavery has existed long before chattel slavery. It's the idea, which was slavery in its most barbaric form, the transatlantic slave trade. But just the concept of you are not owned. You are not your own human being. You are belonging to somebody else. There's something about the NFL draft that perpetuates that culture in our society, like the NCAA does as well. So it's like this one continuous pipeline from one to the other. That bothers me a great deal.
Go, Dave. Go.
A great deal. And I'm not just saying a great deal twice for emphasis because you said go, Dave, although that might have inspired the double great deal. That's the first thing. The second thing, which is the micro part of it, is that to me, there's something about it that is stage dressing for the fact that there are some teams that are just not going to get better because they're managed terribly. I am a big believer, and I don't usually side with management, as you guys know, and this is one of the most noxious quotes in the history of sports management, but Jerry Krause, the GM and president of the Chicago Bulls, blithely writing off the importance of Michael Jordan to that organization by saying organizations win championships,
yes,
not players.
I
on the one hand, that makes me sick.
Mm-hmm.
On
mm-hmm.
the other hand, it would be crazy to not think that there's not at least a modicum of truth there. That when you have well-run organizations, I mean, you hear it when you talk to players all the time, and I've talked to a lot of players as well, like how the culture of one team and how it differs from another, the feeling of a team and how it differs from one another, things that you can't measure on stat sheets, things that Nate Silver can't quantify using numbers, like the idea that you go into a locker room and you just take your job more seriously because that's the culture in that particular locker room. There's an amazing article this week about how someone wrote up, I believe for CSN, Mid-Atlantic, Comcast News, about the secret to the Wizards' success this year is that for the first time in years, the players like each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a small thing to actually like going. Think about your own life, that you like going to work. And so I think organizations do, to a large degree, win championships, not just the collection of players that you have there. And I think that the draft acts as a fig leaf
for
horrible owners and crappy general managers, as if they're somehow improving their product by saying, hey, look at us. We have a new shiny bauble to put on the team.
Right.
Isn't this exciting? It's Darren McFadden. Right. You know, and next thing you know, not
hurt.
So much.
He's hurt.
He's still there.
He is still there, limping along
still
somewhere.
Hurt.
Limping along like he's doing I can't even talk about it because I get too upset. But go ahead.
I got to jump in on what you're saying because I've always said this, and I've said on this show time and time again. What you're talking about, a management system and mismanagement in a system. But I'm talking about in the locker room, chemistry. Chemistry trumps all. Forget talent. Forget all of that. If you don't have chemistry, man, especially in basketball,
yes,
but in football too, you're going nowhere. And that is undervalued, like
you're
just saying.
Agreed. But the difference between basketball chemistry and football chemistry is that in basketball chemistry is bottom up and football chemistry is top down. And this has everything to do everything to do with the balance of power and labor and management. Football, not guaranteed contracts, very authoritarian, very top down. That's why I refused for the Miami Dolphins to make this a Richie Incognito problem.
Check.
Because it's coach determines culture, GM determines culture.
Check.
Owner, if the owner is the meddlesome type, that's not true in every case, but owner in many cases, Dallas, Washington, determines culture. New York Knicks is an exception to the basketball rule. In basketball, though, Knicks aside, because James Dolan is so toxic, but in basketball, it's created bottom up. Yeah, Mark Cuban's a great owner by all accounts, but the reason why that team thrives is Dirk Nowitzki and Rick Carlisle, and they bring in vets like Vince Carter, who really just wants to play. Monte Ellis, they don't bring people in unless they want to actually play a certain way. That's why some people sign with Detroit, other people sign with Dallas. People who care about chemistry sign with Dallas. People care about locker room culture sign with Dallas. So that's the difference. Chemistry trumps all. I'd rather be in a situation that it's bottom up instead of top down for my own sanity and because I think it's far more humanizing as an individual. But however you go, the draft does not address that fundamental problem whatsoever. And it's a stand-in for militarized culture. Hey, this is Edge of Sports Radio. And Mark Barry supports that militarized culture.
Apparently so.
We got to go to break right now.
My man.
Back right after this.
My man.
With Sekou Smith.
One, two, three. Don't move. Dave Zirin will be right back with more Edge of Sports Radio.